welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. You see a lot of angst around the deployment of federal troops to assist cities in their efforts to clean up the crime, arrest cartel leaders, and address the safety concerns we all see and feel in our most liberal-leaning cities. It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it, to have all these city Democrat leaders resist the efforts of the Trump administration to help them, cities like Seattle and Portland, for instance. Will we see federal troops in Seattle in the near future? Most likely. They are already in Portland helping ICE with deportation. What will the result of all this be? One question that you can ask yourself is this. Do you think Donald Trump wants a strong America with safe cities for its citizens? I do. He has spoken about this many times and is, as usual, backing it up with actions. Or do you think Trump wants to see our cities continue to deteriorate, a visual and dramatic deterioration that has most of us, regardless of political orientation, alarmed and on edge? My faith is in Trump and these moves being made. He has stated on numerous occasions that we have a huge drug cartel problem in our cities. The ICE arrests and the federal troops will certainly focus on this issue as a top priority. And the Democrats in power here and in other cities will look foolish trying to beg off help. Mayor Harrell is already looking as such. My question to Bruce Harrell is this. When you look in the mirror and have an honest moment with yourself, do you even believe that you don't need help with this? Come on, man, be honest. You do need help, Bruce. I love this conversation with my guest today. We cover all sorts of things. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is Victoria Palmer. Victoria is a woman who exemplifies courage and strength and is a longtime citizen leader here in Seattle, first with the Medical Freedom Marches and now with the KC GOP Executive Board, where she serves as our marketing and communications leader. Here is my interview with Victoria Palmer. All right, I am here with Victoria Palmer, Legislative District 36, Executive Board for the KC GOP Marketing and PR. Leader and true leader in the party here locally, Victoria Palmer. Victoria, welcome to the American Pulse. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, I've been really looking forward to talking to you. We've been texting a little bit back and forth as we've watched. I know you watch with interest of, you know, what's going on. We're seeing, you know, federal troops being deployed to really blue cities, which is where it's needed the most. And so you see a lot of noise on social media. You know, I think the dynamic seems to be the leftist cities, you know, break and like, oh my God, Trump's trying to do something to help us. Let's resist. This has got to be terrible. But then when they get there and it seems like the ordinary citizens go, oh my God, this is so great to have a safe feeling city. But the mainstream media doesn't report on that. They're mute. They want to report on, you know, maybe a video of Antifa yelling and screaming and in a conflict, but the mainstream media doesn't really interview ordinary citizens that might have had mixed feelings even about troops being deployed, right? But I see a lot of citizens in DC, for instance, where they're like, oh my God, this is so great. I can walk around. So I just wanted to kick it off and start with you. Like, is the mainstream media giving us a true depiction of the dynamic as we watch now Portland? I'll let you weigh in on what is happening down there in Portland. You know, are we getting an accurate picture? Are they kind of gaslighting us still a little bit?
Yeah, good question, Tony. So in DC, we have seen that city cleaned up. It's feeling safer. Business is coming back. They're starting to get started in Memphis with military help in the city. They recently spoke about how they will be cleaning up that city. They, make no mistake, that is the intention, is to get rid of the crime that has settled there. And so, and yes, as of this recording, we should be seeing troops coming to Portland soon to, the intent there seems to be to protect the federal ICE facility. And Tony, when we came up with this recording, I was like, hey, you and I, we're here in Seattle. Let's see what we can do to make the case to, we want troops here in Seattle. And by that, I mean, not just protecting the federal facilities, but something more like the promise in Memphis, where it is to really clean up the city. And that is so what to get back to your point, though, what the mainstream media seems to be covering is the more riotous aspects of this, like in Portland and some of the and Chicago, some of the other cities. But what is filtering through to us is from the actual citizens, the people that live there, who are thrilled to see what's happening. And so yeah, I'm like, let's bring it here to Seattle.
Absolutely. Is it just me? Sometimes when I see the videos of, they try to make it sound like, see, Trump is trying to create civil unrest and civil war. They don't ignore all the property damage and civil unrest. I mean, we had Antifa taking over a police precinct here. It's almost like you almost can't say it with a straight face, like, oh, they would never allow that. But Jenny Durkin was like, it's the summer of love. Take over our buildings and our police. It's so absurd to speak it out loud. Yet that's what we had. And sometimes I wonder the stuff that we see on social media, it's really just the far left, like blue-haired Taliban, like just a few, it's not that many of them. And then it's magnified by like bots. I sometimes think they try to just wash out what we the people really feel like. And I'm talking about traditional liberals, what they really feel. I think they try to jam it down everybody's throat that, we this is terrible that Trump is deploying them. But most are, I mean, I think, did you say there was a survey saying that a lot of people would welcome it? Because I think so many people are frustrated by the plight of their city and what they see. I know I am here.
Yes, exactly. It was posted on Twitter just yesterday that one of the biggest TV stations in Seattle showed 67% of respondents would support President Trump bringing the National Guard to Seattle. And similar polls in Portland have shown the same, that the people actually support this.
What is Mayor Harrell saying about it?
Well, Mayor Harrell gave a press conference just a few days ago, of course, stating that he was opposed to President Trump sending any troops to Seattle, that we absolutely don't need this, et cetera, et cetera. And President Trump at a recent press conference, he addressed this. He said, of course, these Democratic mayors, they don't like him coming in because it's embarrassing. It shows that they're not, keeping their towns clean. But Tony, let me make a case. I mean, you and I, we are two conservative voices here in Seattle. We're a minority. And we've been here long enough in the city to know that this what we're seeing is the results of long-term rule by one party. Like literally 99% of public offices in Seattle are Democrats and have been for a very long time. They have no one to answer to except themselves. Budgets at all levels, city, county, state, have ballooned over the last dozen years. And once they get someone on the payroll, it's hard for them to speak out against this. So I'll say that as a lifelong resident, I've seen the crime on the streets of Seattle. It took a sharp turn up in 2020, and it hasn't gone back. So regardless of what their numbers are saying, the crime is still out there. Just go to any of these neighborhoods where they're containing it. They'll move it from one neighborhood to another, but it's still there. So of course, our Democratic officials are going to rail against Trump bringing troops to the cities. But here it's like, I just really feel, just if I could A personal note, I just really feel like the Democratic rule here has taken advantage of the compassion and generosity of Seattleites for so long, just levying tax after tax after tax, and people just continue to go along with it because they're being told this story about how they're helping people and how much help people need. But they're only getting one side of the story because we have this power structure here. And so that's why voices like ours are so crucial. I've been, and like you said about social media, it's hard to tell what the slant is and if you're just an echo chamber. I've been going to the Seattle City Council to give public comment because I feel it's at least a way to speak directly to our representatives. I've spoken there about things like ending our sanctuary city status. I've talked to them about, why don't we cooperate with President Trump and bring all of this federal funding into our city instead of jeopardizing that funding and instead passing that burden onto our taxpayers.
Yeah.
So
Do you get shouted down when you go there or no? I was curious.
y yes,
You
Tony.
get yelled at.
What I'll say is it's given me a lot of insight into what rules this city. And so on a handful of occasions, I will go to city council and there will be a mob there, like an organized mob of, it's organized by these non-governmental agencies that want to push for things like housing first or renters' rights or basically some form of socialist reform. And so they'll pack the chamber. They'll bring signs and then they'll have coordinated chants. And believe me, they do not like it when I speak there because I just give the voice of common sense and I get booed, I get shouted down. They have chanted so loud over me that no one could actually hear me. So I did go back the following week and I stated my case again.
You've always been such a badass, like from the freedom marches. I mean, you're just like it's really I've really always admired your strength and your conviction and standing in principle. And I also really love you're really great at the tactical stuff. Like I think people in politics, especially local politics, which is like volunteer driven. So it's these, it's we the people, and it's like, oh, let me take a turn in this role. It can be overwhelming. I think politics can be multi-layered and a little confusing, and it can be difficult to maybe find what your strength is and how you can provide what you're good at for the party. I think you've really done a great job. Like the voter's guide that you just sent out recently, it was just really brilliant. I know so many people appreciated something that was kind of tactical and real that we could use to help spread the word. So I just r really wanted to express that to you because I just really admire how you think about things.
Thank you,
And
Tony.
yeah, absolutely. One of the things is I understand for liberals, I totally get that it is a bad optic to have federal, and you had mentioned like the leaders here, they lose face if Trump says, let me go in and do it for you because you're not doing it right. I totally get that. And I understand that certainly with videos and pictures, it can look like a totalitarian move by Donald Trump, right? Like it's just like we're going to send in troops. I understand the optics look bad for the left that are like they don't like the military. They certainly don't like military in quote unquote tolerant cities, but the quote unquote tolerant cities are the ones that have the biggest crime and addiction and mental health and drug issues and homelessness and just on and on and on, including just letting repeat criminals out. Like, how many times have we seen, some woman got assaulted and killed because it was some guy that had been let out of jail 34 times in the past few years? And it's just like, I live, not everybody lives here in Seattle in Queen Anne, right? In an area where it's like, it's really affluent and it's kind of a, it's a little bit of it's not a gated community, but I live in an edgy neighborhood. I love my neighborhood. I live in North Seattle. I live in an area where I'm right there to government housing. I'm right there to a lot of addiction and homelessness and mental health. And I come home at night when I pull in my car, Victoria, I get out. I don't relax getting out of my car. I look around. There could be people in the bushes. Somebody might know that I get home at a certain time. And I'm really wary. I'm not at ease. I look around to make sure I'm not going to get, billy clubbed. And I would love to go walk at night. Sometimes I have a hard time sleeping. I'd love to, 11 o'clock at night, I might just go for a stroll for fresh air, but I don't feel super comfortable and I'm a capable man. I mean, I'm fit, I'm strong. It's just a little edgy. And I feel for the people, and there's a lot of people that live in neighborhoods like mine, Central District or, Capitol Hill, or there's a lot of neighborhoods where it's like there's kind of a lot of crime. And I would love to see a safer city for all kinds of citizens like you and I. Because not everybody lives in Queen Anne. In DC, not everybody lives in Georgetown. People live in ordinary neighborhoods that they can afford. And sometimes in those neighborhoods, we would love to see a safer vibe. And so I just, wanted to give you a chance to just speak for ordinary Seattleites that are not being voiced, that maybe, we really want this. And we've got the FIFA World Cup coming next year. And I want to see, I'm proud of Seattle. It's just, I want to see us do better, right?
I'm with you, Tony. And let me tell you, my mom has lived in this house for 50 years. This is the family house in Greenwood. We're not far from you. And I mean, never before 2020 had I ever seen the level of crime on the streets here. We had, over by the Fred Meyers, we had a row of tents. They were doing fentanyl right there in public, right by a toy store, for kids. And it was just disgusting. They didn't do anything about it. They finally did clean it up. We had that brief moment where our city council was actually doing something. And so it got cleaned up, but still you go over to Ballard, or you go certainly on Capitol Hill or south of there, and it just continues. So but a lot of people live in neighborhoods like us where you can get by, it doesn't affect you for the most part, but you see it. And so we can largely neglect it and just think that, oh, someone will figure it out. We'll just keep voting for things like Housing First and get all these people off the street and into apartment, and they think this is going to solve everything. But let me take a minute here to comment what the people in Seattle, the liberals in Seattle, they are deceived into thinking that they're voting for something good. We're going to take all these people off the street and put them into apartments and they'll live happily ever after. But really, I've been involved in politics only a few years now, but around every corner there seems to be an element of, organized crime going on here. We've got I mean, you don't have to look far to see syndicates, I should say, yeah, drug syndicates, cartels in our area, operating in our area. So those low income house that low income housing development near you, that's literally housing this function here. It's setting up places for human trafficking and drug dealing to go on. And I do believe that at many levels of government, our officials are complicit with this, that they know that they are hiding this element that's moved into our city. And they, in fact, are probably protecting it. I can't tell you exactly what the function is, but basically they've adopted this platform, this surface level platform of telling people that, oh, you're voting to protect these immigrants. You're voting to protect our communities and our shared values. While really what they're doing is they're shutting off help that could come from President Trump in terms of cleaning up our city and cleaning up the homelessness, and addiction and putting an end to the cartels. Recently there was a bust here in the Seattle area, huge, of the Sinaloa cartel operation, and it was huge. And so there was a press conference, and some of our officials were there, but for the most, it was local. Mostly, it was run by the FBI. Our Seattle police chief did not show up, and it was very noticeable. So it's almost like they literally don't want help from the feds in fixing our crime problem.
Do you think you'll see any Democrat
politician break rank around this, where they're like, look, I am talking to my constituents and they want to see a safer city, and this is fine. I wish we were doing it, but I want it done. Like, where they're really putting results over ideology. I think that's what it is. Trump is putting people like Mayor Harrell in a bind, because he's saying, look, I want safe cities for you, and you guys aren't doing it, so let us help you. It's an enormously uncomfortable position, I imagine, for city leadership to say, we don't need your help, when their constituents on all sides of the political spectrum are saying it's not good. We need to clean this up. It's not happening. They're saying it's happening, but it's not. I don't see the results. So I would welcome an out-of-the-box solution. Will you see Democrats? I mean, Rachel Savage is on board with cleaning up the city. She used to be a Democrat. Will we see anybody else kind of say, hey, I've talked to the people and they want this, and so I know it's going to piss off all my Democrat handlers or my funders that gave me money for this, but I've got to, are we going to see anybody like that, do you think? Or no?
Well, to be fair, several of them are up for re-election this year, and so I think they're being extra careful about what they say. But no, I gotta say, I don't expect to see any of them come out to support Trump coming in. However, there could be a few that on the once they see the results and there's a little bit more freedom for them to express themselves, I could see a few of them coming out and saying, "Hey, thank you, Trump. We actually appreciate this." So that would be a huge victory for our side if we could actually get that acknowledgement.
Well, thanks, Victoria, for coming on. I wanted to talk to you about kind of cleaning up the uglification of the cities, but that's a whole nother kit and caboodle and a whole nother podcast that we'll do another time. And it's got many elements. But I just so appreciate you coming on American Pulse and sharing your insight and your wisdom. And I just appreciate your leadership in the party. You're just always such a great voice of reason and common sense. But also, you've got really good ideas on how we can move forward gracefully as a city. So thank you so much today. It's really a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Tony. If I can just share just a couple more words of encouragement.
Absolutely.
I do believe I see that there are three executive orders from President Trump that could help our state directly. And so that's part of what brings me hope. I do believe he can help clean up our city's homelessness and addiction, help clean up our voter rolls. Let's not forget about that. And then, with his recent executive order to end Antifa terrorism, I believe that will help reduce the intimidation that we're seeing here politically. And then just on a personal level, you mentioned the work that I've been doing this whole time and what got me involved originally. Really, it comes down to being someone fearless, being able to speak out, being able to speak your truth wherever you are, so we're not all in a position to do what I'm doing or what you're doing, but everyone is in some position to do something in their sphere and have a little bit of an effect. If I could just, I believe what's going to really fix our politics is massive public support for the Republican Party. If we can get enough people like you and me, just normal people, normal folks saying, "Yeah, I'm a Republican." If we can just see people doing that, it will start sort of a, we'll start to gain momentum. And that's what's going to shift our politics.
Wouldn't it be nice to actually go to a city council meeting and be listened to respectfully and not be shouted down? Wouldn't it be nice to say, oh, look, we've got 5 Democrat liberals want to weigh in, and we've got 4 conservative. Let's get everything out on the table, city council. City council, like, let's see what you guys really want, because you represent the people, not shout her down with these. Like, it would be so refreshing, and I think the city would be so much more creative if they allowed the conservative side to weigh in on things,
Tony,
right?
to have some civil discourse and actually debate. Oh, that's a that let's do that. Let's
Let's keep
do that.
dreaming
Get out
about
of
that. Let's
our
manifest that, Victoria.
Awesome, Tony. That's a great idea. I love it.
Okay. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did with the always inspiring Victoria Palmer. To get connected to all that is happening here locally for conservatives, centrists, and even Kennedy liberals who have finally had enough, go to www.kcgop.org. You can make a small donation to subscribe to our newsletter there. Our website is full of information for we the people, and we are here to serve you. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next time on The American Pulse.